Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message, and now on to this week's sermon.
Good morning again. Hey, want to tell you just a couple of things that are coming up. Actually, one thing, the block party. We're going to really promote it today. August the 10th, a Saturday, we got beach balls. Watch out and don't get creamed by it. August 10th, the block party. Be there or be square, as they say. We're going to be passing clipboards, right, with the food sign-ups. You can sign up for what you want to bring, your side. We're going to provide the meats and all that good stuff, asking everybody to bring a side. So that'll be passed along in just a couple of minutes. We have some pretty good invitation cards if you're out and about and want to share an invitation to someone, or maybe if you're at a coffee shop or something, you just leave it on your table there and somebody will see it later. Do that, and also volunteers to help out. If you can help out in any way, whether it's before or during or after the block party, we would love to know who you are and let you volunteer for that. We got beach balls going all over the place. Oh, in the back of the head. And so you can sign up for that right outside the door there. And so it's a big deal. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we are going to impact our communities with the Father's love as we have the block party. All right, so Pastor Kathy's coming up after the video. But she's been talking. What do you think about this mouth management thing, huh? The past couple of sermons, she's been all up in your business. Maybe you're afraid to say it, right? She has, I listened to those online, and man, she's just getting a little too personal, right? But I always think, man, who needs to hear this, right? Who else needs to hear this? Because I certainly don't, right? When it comes to complaining or criticizing, no, it's for me. That's for sure. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to feel a little bit of that tension on the inside and maybe a little bit of conviction by the Holy Spirit, right? Because it's God who convicts, and it's not us. So she's going to continue her series today, and she's going to talk a little bit about controlling our tongues a little bit more, a little bit in depth. But before we have her come up, let me pray, and then we're going to have a quick video. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, God, for your word. We pray, God, that your word would be strong. Lord, that we know that it's your word that changes hearts. It's your word that changes minds. It's your word that changes the world, God. And we are dependent on your word in our lives, Father. So give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to receive and to process and to live out your word and grow closer to you each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have a quick video, and then Kathy will be up.
I mean, the publisher wants to see some stuff as soon as possible, so the only time I could work on it would be, I don't know, I guess this weekend.
Yeah, but this weekend is our camping trip at the Parkers.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
You want me to go camping without you, with all the kids? Are you insane?
All right, it's a little extra slack, I know.
Yeah, listen. You waste time for over a year, and then you expect me to suffer so you can finally start getting serious.
Well, hey, you don't think I'm going to suffer? I'm sacrificing the most precious thing of all, time with my children, huh? You don't think I got cats in the cradle playing up here?
I think you got two monkeys and a yo-yo playing.
Yeah. You don't want me to be an author. That's what it is, because it'll be a book tour and then the groupies. Oh.
Now, there's a sad bunch of women.
Yeah. Sad but happy, if you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean.
Come on. What, you want me to beg? I'm no good at asking for help. It's my biggest flaw. Don't be mean. Come on. Feel bad for me. Help me. It's my dream to write a book.
All right.
Ha-ha! Right. You love my yo-yo monkeys.
Yeah. All right, but listen, while we're gone, you work.
Yes.
Yes?
Right, absolutely.
You do not play golf. You do not watch TV.
Right, right. No fun.
No, I'm not kidding, Ray.
I know, no kidding. No fun, I promise. Stop looking at me.
And, you know, if you break that promise, I'll know.
I know you'll know. And then you'll have to punish me.
Oh, I'll punish you.
Oh, yeah?
Seriously, Ray, I'll hurt you. Work, Ray.
Now there's more to it.
Go straight upstairs. Go right to the bath, right? Don't touch anything.
Hi, dears. Hi. Welcome back, Deborah. How was your camping vacation?
What's going on?
Camping. That's great. Hey, what did you use for toilet paper?
Toilet paper.
Then it wasn't really camping. I can tell you a story.
Okay, that's all right, Frank.
Brandon said you weren't getting back until tomorrow.
Yeah, I know, but between the rain and the bugs and the kids going nuts, I decided we had enough vacation. Is he in the office?
Hi. Hi. Oh, you're all muddy.
What are you doing, Ray?
Okay, all right, listen, I know what you're thinking.
Really? Then why aren't you protecting yourself?
No, listen.
Ladies, would you not kill your husband for doing that? That, everyone loves Raymond, is one of Mike and I's favorite bedtime shows. I know people say you're not supposed to have TVs in your room, but that's what we watch so that we just laugh and laugh before we go to bed. How many of you this morning, how many of you would say you've told a lie in the last week? Raise your hand. Go ahead. Raise your hand. Everybody else, look around. And if you raised your hand, look at everybody else, because they're lying, because they didn't raise their hand. Let me tell you, that's the odds. I'm not saying for sure. I'm not in your life. I don't know. But the odds are, if you didn't say you told a lie, you're actually probably lying, because studies show that the average person actually lies about 4 times a day. 4 times a day. There's one study that was done by the University of Massachusetts, close to home, says that 60% of people cannot meet a new person and have a 10-minute conversation without telling at least one lie. 60% of us can't meet someone new and have a 10-minute conversation without telling a lie. So we're going to make this a 9-minute message, because I don't want to lie in a message about telling lies. We can laugh, right? While we can laugh at the humor behind our tendency to lie, it's crucial. It's so important to understand, how does God view lying? And maybe you're new to the Word of God and you think, well, he doesn't concern himself with things like that, with those details of our lives. But Scripture shows us that God has a lot to say about how we speak, especially about lying. And that's why we've been doing this series. Mike was, you know, talking about me being all up in your business, but that's why we're doing this series on mouth management. And I'm going to remind you again, just like I did last week, we're talking about our own mouths, right? Say, my own mouth. Put your finger to your mouth right now, my own mouth. We're not worrying about and letting our minds go to everybody else that we think should be controlling their mouths. And also, I was thinking our theme this year, right, is discerning God's word together. And really, that's our theme all the time. We're always be going to the word of God together and seeing what he has to say about everything. And so I want to show you show you through scripture exactly how God feels about lying. He's very clear. Proverbs 12:22, this is what it says. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. And I think if you have your Bibles today or even on your phone, you should look at that in print. If you don't have a Bible, we have some in the back. You can grab one now or grab it on your way out. It's our gift to you. Take it home. We want you to have the Word of God in your hands. The Lord detests when we lie, but he rejoices or delights when we tell the truth. And I loved how Paul was talking about the youth learning Hebrew. The Hebrew word that translated as detest, it means something disgusting. It means an abomination. It means something that makes one nauseous. When we lie, you could imply that this literally makes God nauseous. He hates it. He detests lying lips. And I'm using Paul once again this week in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 21. I'm going to read it to you. My Bible's upside down. This is what it says. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 21. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Throw off that old self, that old nature. Since you now know about Jesus, let him renew your thoughts and your attitudes. And it says right out, can't be any clearer, stop telling lies. I heard a Southern preacher say, you may never be more like the devil than when you're telling lies. No, it wasn't Mike. I know he's Southern and he's a preacher, but it wasn't him. But it's pretty powerful, right? You may never be more like the devil than when you're telling lies. Ew. And Jesus, he apparently might agree with this statement, because this is what he said in John 8:44. He spoke of the devil and he said that the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When the devil lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar. He is the father of lies. And maybe that's one of the reasons why God hates lying so much, because his spiritual enemy, our enemy, the prince of darkness, the great deceiver, his number one weapon is to lie, to deceive, to take us away. Jesus is the truth, and the truth sets us free. Amen. But the devil is a liar, and he uses the lies to take us out of the freedom of God's truth. I want to show you what I believe is the enemy's plan when it comes to lying. The first thing, I believe that Satan wants to get us to lie. He wants us to start speaking his language, speaking the language of our enemy by getting us to lie. And it could be something as simple as just exaggerating a story to make ourselves look better. Could be, you know, cheating on a test. It could be lying about where you were or where you are going. Like, really, Mom, I was at my friend's house when you weren't. Or to your spouse, oh, I had to work late, honey. It could be making up something about someone that you don't like, and maybe it's partially true. Could be telling all those partial truths. You're not telling everything, but you're just kind of telling the story in a way that it makes you look better. Could be, you know, something like this. You say to someone, you know, I was talking to her and I told her, you know, you can't talk to me that way. And then I pulled her aside and I said, if you ever do that to me again, let me tell you what I'm gonna do. And then sometimes whoever you're telling this story to, they want to say, did you really say that to her? And if we were honest, we'd say, well, no, I was thinking that. I said it in my head. They're really lucky I didn't say it to them. But it's all exaggeration. And it's amazing how often, because of our sinful nature, right? We're born with the sinful nature. We'll choose. Remember that word, choose to speak the devil's language and lie. And I wish I could stand here and just say, you know, that's all of you, not me. Like, I've never lied, never done it. But it's really shocking to me when you think about it, when I think about the things that, you know, I think don't matter. Occasionally find myself just telling a lie. And then realize I'm speaking the devil's language. Mike is always after me for working so much or working when it's not, you know, work times and trying to help me set boundaries with that. And so he might say, like, who are you texting? Or, like, you know, what are you doing on your phone or on your computer? Oh, nothing, honey. I'm just scrolling. Oh, I'm just doing my puzzles, my Wordle puzzles. When it's just partially true, because part of that was responding to somebody's text or email because I just wanted to get it done. And we can kind of laugh about things like that, but I think there's tragedy in that we give in to Satan's schemes and we end up speaking his language. And who wants to do that? It's dumb things a lot of times, right? Or it's really, really important things. It's things that maybe we're ashamed of, or things that we're afraid of what the consequences will be if we tell the truth. It's avoidance. It's all kinds of things associated with finances. A lot of times trying to make ourselves look better. We think that lying about how much money we make, or, you know, how generous we are, even about our giving, like, oh, I tithe. I know when Dave Epstein spoke over the offering, he was talking about, in his case, like, not understanding what tithing is. But we have people all the time that talk to us about tithing that aren't really tithing. And they're struggling, and they don't want to even admit it. So we lie. I can remember, you know, a number of years ago, someone approached Mike and was so excited. They're like, can I speak over the offering next week? And we have this great testimony. God, you know, did this in our lives, and it's because we've been faithful and we've been tithing. And there was deceit between husband and wife. And so little did he know that his wife wasn't even giving a dime. And he thought all along that they were tithing. We, Joy Church, we take praying over God's finances up here. We take it very seriously. And to the best of our knowledge and ability, you will not see people up here speaking and praying about our tithes and offerings unless they are committed to doing that themselves. When we don't want to do something, so many of us, right? We make up excuses. We tell lies why we can't. Or if it's about some place, why we won't be at this place because something, and it seems so minor to us. But when it comes right down to it, if we are honest, we are lying. We are lying. Some of us buying things and hiding them from our spouses. Oh, quick, I got to get home first because the Amazon packages showed up. All those things I bought on Prime Day, I need to get them out of the box, put them away before they get home because I don't want them to know about it. It's funny, but it's doing what the devil wants us to do. So number one, he gets us to lie to others. And number two, I believe he gets us to lie to ourselves. He gets you to lie to yourself, not just lie to others, but lie to ourselves. We start rationalizing our lies. We start to tell another lie to cover up the previous lie, right? And then before long, we're starting to believe all these lies. There's some of you, some of us, we've lied so much to others that we actually start believing that that's the truth. We believe the lies, even to the point where we rationalize our sinfulness instead of calling it what it is. And you might say, you know, I'm not that bad. Kathy, it's not really that big of a deal. I can quit that anytime. I'm not hurting anybody. How often do we hear that? I'm not hurting anybody but myself. It's not my fault. I'm just a victim. It's everybody else's fault. It's not my fault. And what happens? We end up lying to ourselves. This is exactly what King David did in the Old Testament. He thought he was above the rules, and he wasn't at war where he was supposed to be. And one night he saw a woman bathing on a rooftop, and his initial lie led to this series of deceptions. And David's story, it shows us how one lie can spiral into another. And then pretty soon there's this whole web of deceit affecting not just ourselves, but all the people around us. David saw her, Bathsheba. He said to his servant, "Go get her." His servant brought Bathsheba to King David, and David committed adultery with this woman, and then he started lying to cover up his sin, and another lie. He devised this plan basically to trick and to cover it up. But when her husband, Uriah, didn't give in to his plan, David essentially put him out in the front lines and had him killed in battle. And then later on, listen to this prophet, Nathan, he comes up to King David. He says to David, let me tell you a little story. You can read about this in 2 Samuel 12, but he's like, once upon a time, there was a very rich and powerful man who had more wealth and animals than you could imagine. And then there was this little, you know, very poor man, and he only had one little lamb. His kids loved the lamb. It was such a little pet to this man. And so one day when a hungry person came to the rich guy's house, instead of going out and killing one of his own animals to feed the hungry man, he took the other guy's, that poor guy's only lamb, and he killed it. And he fed it to this hungry man. And David, he's looking on, right? He's furious. The Bible says he burned with anger. And he said, "That's the worst thing I've ever heard. This rich man, he should be put to death. He must pay for this. This is a horrendous crime." And Nathan, he looks at David and he said, "You are the man. You are the man." So let me warn you. Today, some of you today, the Holy Spirit may speak to you and say, "You are the man," or "You are the woman. You are the one who has been lying to others. It's you, and now you're lying to yourself. You've deceived yourself, and you're living apart from God's truth." Because our enemy, our enemy. He wants us to speak his language. He's the father of lies. There is no truth in him. No truth. And if he can convince you of a lie, even in your own life, he can take you away from the truth of God's word. Number two, the devil not only wants you to lie to others, but also to lie to yourself. And this, what we'd call self-deception, it's a critical step in the enemy's plan, because once we start rationalizing our lies, we begin to believe them. And it leads us to number three, which is the most dangerous step, is actually living a lie. It's Satan's masterpiece. When he gets you to live a lie, to claim one thing, but to be something totally different. Let me just say, that's not all of you, not all of us. But I believe it is some of us. Unquestionably, it's some of us today living a lie. It could be, you know, your Mr. or Mrs. or Ms., you know, Christian person around all of your friends, and you're reciting scripture fluently. But then when you're alone, you're heavily watching pornography or drinking to excess. It could be that you're showing a perfect life on social media. Look at this, you know, and look at my new shoes, and here's my vacation. But inside, you are battling with depression, anxiety, feelings of hopelessness every single day of your life. It could be that you're, you know, the Pinterest mom, and everybody's matching, and everything looks so great, and you make everything from scratch. But inside, you're just dying. You're lonely, desperate, depressed. It could be at life group. Our life groups, they're starting back up in September. We take a break in the summer because the summer's short in New Hampshire, right? But in life group, you and your spouse, you come to life group and you're sitting there and putting on this impression that you have the perfect marriage. You act the part, you look the part, and then you go home and you barely communicate, even to the point of sleeping in separate bedrooms. Listen to the Holy Spirit today, guys. Listen as the Holy Spirit works on you and says, this is you. The devil wants to tell us lies, and the devil wants us to believe our own lies, and the devil wants us ultimately to live a lie. This next one, if it doesn't feel serious enough in here yet, this is where it might even feel more serious. The devil is the deceiver. And one thing that he does, what I'm really, really concerned about all the time, is that there are many of you who are deceived into believing that you're a Christian when you may not be one. That you go to church every now and then, and you say to yourself, well, I'm not an atheist, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Buddhist, so, okay, I must be a Christian. But when you look at your life, not when I look at your life, but when you look at your life, there's no evidence of spiritual fruit. Your behavior is nothing different from the world. And I can tell you, as pastors, Mike and I, we pray, God, let us shepherd people who recognize their need for Jesus every single day. Help us, Lord, help people realize how much, not how much you need us, how much you need him, how much you need him. This is what John said, 1 John 2:4. This is what he said about lying. He said, whoever says, I know him, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and not living in the truth. That's the words right here. If there's no obedience, there's no life change, there's no fruit, and we're not saved by our works, we're saved by grace, but grace leads to works. When we know God, suddenly we're different. If we say, I know God, but we're not starting to resemble Jesus, if we don't do what he commands, we lie, and the truth is not in us. Some of you say, well, hey, I'm not a bad person. I'm okay. That was me. Before I had a relationship with Jesus, I would have said, I'm a good person. People would have said, she's a good person. But the truth of God was not in me. Not in me. And we all lie for different reasons. We might lie because we think we're protecting somebody's feelings, or lie to make somebody feel better. Some of us, our lies are more self-centered. We're going to make ourselves look better. Like, oh, I'm not so worried about you. I'm trying to cover my own tracks. There's many reasons that we lie. I think when you can recognize, when we can recognize the root reason, then we can bring truth to the root and we can find healing. When I really thought about this, in my prayer time this week, here's the statement that I believe is actually true for all of us, or most of us, let's say. The root reason most of us lie is because we don't completely trust God. We believe the lie that our lie will work better than the truth. The lie, it might keep me safe. If I tell a lie, I won't get in trouble. But suddenly, right, when we lie, we're actually not safe because we're trying to build a life on lies, and it's much more difficult than it is to build it on the truth. It might be, you know, we think if I tell this lie, they're going to like me better. But the problem is then we have a relationship that's built on lies. We might think like, oh, if I tell a lie, it's going to lead to avoiding conflict, right? So many of us, we don't want to deal with that conflict. But the truth is that sometimes the best relationships are on the other side of working through a conflict. At its root, we tend to believe that our lies work better than God's truth. And I think the reason why many of us lie is because we don't trust God. When the worship team could come up. And as they do, I'm going to try to make this as simple as we can. Who's the devil? Who's the devil? He's the father of lies. And what is his language? It's lying. His greatest tool is to deceive us away from the truth. We believe truth is a person, that he has a name, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:32. Lies bring bondage, and the truth brings freedom. And Satan wants us to tell a lie, to believe the lie, and ultimately to live a lie. But Jesus wants us to walk in the truth, to experience the truth, knowing that the truth will ultimately set us free. Satan has a plan to get you to lie, to get you to believe the lie, to get you to live the lie. But God has a plan, and it's simple, it's powerful, and it's freeing. We confess to God for forgiveness, and we confess to people for healing. We confess our sins, our lies to God for forgiveness, and then we confess to people for healing. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins before God, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I love that. It's so freeing when we confess to God, God Almighty. He cleanses us. He forgives us. He separates our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And he doesn't hold them against us anymore. He cleanses us. He purifies us from all unrighteousness. And we confess to God not so much for his sake, but for our sake. He already knows that we sinned. He already knows. And we confess to him saying, I need your forgiveness. And then we receive his grace. But the thing is, it's only a portion of the power of confession. And this is where so many of us, I believe, this is where we stop. And this is why so many of us don't find the freedom and the healing that God's word teaches us that we can have. We confess to God for forgiveness, which cleanses us from our sins. But the second layer, the second part of confession that brings healing is confessing to one another. That's why we do life together here, life in community, in small groups, by being able to share our struggles and seeking support from one another. We can break free from the bondage of lies and live in the freedom of God's truth. One of our elders this week set this example so perfectly. We have a group text in our elders, and after last week's message, they confessed to being critical in a certain situation. And they said, I ask God for forgiveness, but I'm asking you all for forgiveness too. What a great and perfect example. And let me tell you, when people ask for forgiveness, we better tell them we forgive them. None of us are immune from all of this. God's word, it speaks on all these things, and it's for all of us, every single one of us. He has so much to say about our mouths, how we use our mouths. And that's why we're doing this series. And we've talked about complaining and criticizing and now lying. And it's so important, guys, that we be different than the world and that we work on these things. None of us are perfect. None of us. James says, we confess our sins to one another and we pray for each other so that we may be healed. We confess to God for forgiveness, but we confess to people for healing. That's where the healing power begins, confessing to God for forgiveness and confessing to each other for healing. There's some of you, I know, right now, online, in this room, you're carrying a lie. You may be living a lie, and you're believing a lie. And that feeling, I think about the youth that stood up here, and they talked about feeling lighter today the heaviness was gone. Well, the feeling that you have right now because of that, you're carrying, it's so heavy. The guilt, the fear of people finding out. Just think, like, what would it be like to wake up and say, I've got no secrets. I am completely free, and I've been completely forgiven. The devil wants you to lie, which leads to bondage. Jesus wants you to experience truth, which leads to freedom. Bondage or freedom? Bondage or freedom? Lies or truth? When you know the truth will set you free. Father, today, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you would unleash your truth in our souls. God, that you would give us the courage to confess and admit when we've lied, when we've sinned, when we've strayed against you. And God, we thank you that you will forgive us. And we thank you that one step beyond that, we can find healing in your family as we confess to one another. And I cannot wait to see, Lord Jesus, what you do in this family, this body of believers, through appropriate confession in the right context. God, bring healing. Because of your grace, oh, I see the freedom you are going to bring. I thank you, Lord, today that your Holy Spirit is working. I thank you that the truth sets us free, and I pray every single time that we're tempted to tell a lie, when we're tempted to exaggerate a story, tempted to tell the story in a way that makes us look better, makes us feel better, that we would just pause and just remember, no, I am not going to speak the enemy's language. We want truth. God, lead us to truth. Renew our minds with your truth. Help us to represent your truth, God. Help us to experience your truth. Because when we know the truth will set us free. For those who may be living a lie, God, I pray that you would lead them to the appropriate people in the right context. God, that they would open up, that they would come clean to find healing in your Son, Jesus. Give them courage. And for those who may be on the receiving end of a confession, God, I pray there would be grace. As we have all been forgiven, help us to show that same grace to others. Here in this room, and those of you online, we don't say it enough, but thank you for joining us online. There might be some of you, you're going to become aware today that you've been calling yourself a Christian, but you're recognizing the truth is not in you. There's no real evidence. Yes, you recognize you've had some head knowledge about who Jesus is, but your heart has not been transformed by his grace. But there's something happening today. There's something that's drawing you toward the things of God. And you might not even be sure what that is. It's the truth of his love. It's His loving, Holy Spirit that's reaching out to you. It's poking on your heart, drawing you, pulling you all towards Him. And listen to this. He's saying, come just as you are. So often we think we have to clean up our life. Oh, I gotta do this better. I gotta get better at this. I gotta stop doing that. I gotta know. You come to Jesus exactly as you are. Jesus is the truth. He's the Son of God who was born without sin, never ever sinned. He lived a perfect life, and He became sin. The magnitude of that. He became sin for us on the cross, died in our place for the forgiveness of our sins. And God rose Him so that anyone who would call on His name would be saved. Every sin ever committed, forgiven by our God. The old gone, and everything becomes new. You're not here by accident. You're not watching online by accident. You need the grace of Jesus. And maybe you thought you were a Christian and you realize, I'm not. And I'm not going to live in the lie. Maybe your life, it looks like you're far from God, but you're actually one step away from the grace of Jesus, and that is why you are here today. You need Him. So pray with me this morning. And at Joy Church, no one prays alone. We walk this journey together as a family of God. Heavenly Father, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. Fill me with your Spirit so I can know you and follow you and live for you. Help me to walk in truth, to speak your truth, to show your truth. My life is not my own. Today I give it to you. Thank you for new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, it is the best decision you could ever make. And you are on to an incredible journey with a group of imperfect people walking this journey together, learning more and more about the truth and getting away from the lies. I know this is heavy stuff, guys, but it's the Word of God. And as we work together and as we hold each other accountable, and as we are there for one another, God is going to do incredible things in setting us free. And can you imagine what a group of people set free, walking in freedom, can do in this world? Incredible things. I love you. We love you. There is nothing you can do about it. And we believe that God's very, very best is yet to come. Thank you so much. We'll see you back next week for the final message in this series. If you have
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.